Good evening and welcome to our special service in between the two class segments, which usually happens after the 13th lesson in each class segment. Tonight we'll be doing a special service that has some song, prayer, and scripture reading, and a couple of short talks that are dealing with enduring faith. And some of the young men here will be putting together those scripture readings, prayers, and short talks as we go forward through the night. I hope that they are edifying to you, as I know they will be to me. Just a few announcements before we begin. I wanted to make sure that everyone remembers or has looked at their email to see that there are a lot of changes going on as far as upcoming classes, some at the building, some not at the building, as well as some changes in the arrangement of the services as far as the last name, the first letter of your last name. That has been changed up a little bit. So please check your email so that you know where you're going. Check the bulletin that Sewell sent out earlier, and you should have good information there as to where you should be and what you should do. Before we begin the service tonight, I just want to go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll start with a song and get into the scripture reading, the prayer, and the discussion on those texts. So bow with me if you would. Our Father, as we come before you tonight, we recognize that there is so much going on in the world, and there is always so much going on in the world, and we pray that you would help us, help our minds in particular as we come to your word, as we come before you to sing praises to you and to glorify your name, as we come before you to pray and humble ourselves that our will would be made into your will as we try more and more each and every day to be more like Christ. And so we pray, especially in this hour that we're going to spend dedicated to looking into your word and speaking prayers to you and hearing your word taught, that our minds would be clear and open, our hearts would be ready to accept your word, and that might give us wisdom and guidance as we continue to walk each and every day through this life. Father, there are many on our minds who are dealing with difficulties in this life, many who will escape my memory, but we pray that you would be with Hazel Williams' family with the death of her brother-in-law, and continue to be with Patrice Julian's family at the loss of her father. Be with Florian Ruffin and the doctors as they are looking after her daughter and the decisions that are to be made coming up soon. We continue to give you thanks for the positive results of Sherry Moody's surgery, and we pray that you would continue to be with her. Be with Meredith Neesmith as well as she recovers, with Teresa Sword's mother as she continues to recover. We pray that you would be with George Hamilton as he still continues to battle through health issues and as he recovers as well. And Father, we pray that you would be with Cedric and Vera McCollins as they have lost loved ones recently and the sorrow that brings. Father, with each one of these, we pray that their faith would be lifted up and strengthened in you, and that we all would turn opportunities, both good, both in times of good and times of difficulty, into opportunities to let our light shine in this world as we follow in the footsteps of our Savior and our Lord Christ Jesus. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
As Ryan mentioned, we will have a couple of scripture readings prior to a talk by Jake Gibson, centered around why we should place our faith in the Lord. The first scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second passage tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 11. There'll be two sections, verses 1 through 7 and also 13 through 16. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their condemnation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Continuing down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city.
As was mentioned, tonight we are going to be spending some time, have already began spending time reading Scripture and offering prayers centered on the idea of an enduring faith. And as we all know, typically, you know, if you want to have something that does endure and something that lasts, it's got to be built on something solid. It's got to be built on a solid foundation. Jesus, of course, used that metaphor there in Matthew 7 when he contrasts two different foundations, and when the storms came, you know, the one that was built on solid rock is the one that stood, and the one that wasn't fell. And so, what is the foundation of an enduring faith? There's probably much that we could say about that and spend, multiple classes talking about that, but I would submit to you that it certainly has to be centered on the one in whom our faith is in. You know, some of you perhaps in the past have put your faith in someone, and whether that person maybe just wasn't who you thought they were, or maybe they changed, or they never kept their word, and they would never keep their promises, and you know, were disappointed in them. And it really wasn't a faith that was lasting or that could endure because of the person who you put your faith in. What about biblical faith? Well, biblical faith, the Scriptures speak of a faith that can endure, that can last, because of the one in whom we have faith. A faith in the one true God. We'll think about it here just for a couple minutes as we think over the passages that Corey read. Think about it really in just two areas, broken down quite simply into both who He is and what He's done. What does Hebrews 11 have to say about who He is? I think there in verse 3 that Corey read for us, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So by faith, we ought to understand or be convicted, I'm going to borrow some language from verse 1, be convicted that the God that we cannot see created the great universe all around us that we can see. That He is the creator of all things, the creator and sustainer of life, who set it all in motion, you know, from the complex designs of the solar system to the tiny, atoms or cells in our body, that He created all of that. Is that faith building for us when we think about that? I know that, you know, from time to time, I think classes are offered here or lessons are given that that have to do with evidences that give evidence of intelligent design, God being the creator. And I'll speak for myself. I don't think I've always paid attention as I should in those classes when, you know, those things are important. Because if we come to a deeper understanding about God being the creator of all things, that's going to help us and give us more faith and really confidence in His power. And not only His power, but the fact that He's in control. If He created all things, do you think there's anything outside of His control? Certainly not. So when there's so much going on around us that would cause us to be worried or anxious or doubt, we ought to have faith in the one who created all things and is in control. Let's get down to verse 6 with me here that we read, where it kind of gives two aspects of faith here. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists." Certainly that's important, and think about what we just said about Him being the Creator. But secondly, that He rewards those who seek Him. What does that say about God? That He rewards those who seek Him. Does it say that He is a good God? Well, certainly. That He wants to reward those who seek Him. Does it say that He is faithful? That He's both able to reward and that He's willing to reward those who seek Him? Certainly. Does it say that He's a God that we can trust? Well, absolutely. You know, why do you think Abraham could just, you know, leave his homeland not knowing where he was going? Because he knew who God is, and God had made a promise, and God rewards those who seek Him. Even if he could not, you know, see that reward or even experience it yet. Did you see in verse 16 that Corey read? I believe it's verse 16. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." So even though Abraham didn't know when or how, he knew whom it was that he had believed in and that he would be able to reward him, which, of course, you know, makes me think of what Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 when he said, you know, "I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. And I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what's been entrusted to me. So Paul was able to have confidence because he knew who God is and knew that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Look over in the passage that Corey read in Romans 8. You know, how can we be confident that God will reward us if we seek him? Look what was said here in verse 32 of Romans 8. That he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How do we know he's going to reward us? Look at what he's already done for us. Sending his only son for us. So I like the way that's kind of structured rhetorically here, that if he's given us his only son, of course he's going to give us all these good things. So we can certainly have confidence that God will reward us because of what he's done in sending his son. And not just sending his son to die, as the passage said, he was also raised. Which, by the way, you know, what role does the resurrection play in our faith? Hopefully we've all been studying, you know, our theme chapter for the year in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, okay, without the resurrection, if Christ is not raised, then what? Our faith is in vain. Our faith is futile. So not only does our faith center on who God is, but it centers on the fact that Jesus died and he rose again. Because if he did not, then really Jesus isn't who he claimed to be, and God isn't all-powerful and in control. But because he was raised, we are no longer in our sins, and we can be assured of the hope of one day being raised ourselves to a body that's incorruptible, that's imperishable. So our God, the creator of all things, all-powerful, in control, he is good, he is faithful. We can trust that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Look at what he's already done for us. Did not even spare his own son, but gave him for us. We can look at the resurrection, which is really what our faith should be centered on, because our hope is centered on that fact that Jesus rose from the grave, so one day we can rise as well. So, you know, though that promise is far off, you know, just like the examples in Hebrews 11, just like they saw the promise far off, we can see it, greet it from afar, and know that really nothing against our will can take that away from us.
We'll continue by reading Psalm 46, followed by a prayer that ties the thoughts of the scriptures and also what Jacob's just talked about as well. Psalm 46. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alameth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's go ahead and pray to God now, praising him for his attributes and also his actions that give us trust in Him. Let's pray. Almighty God, You are the God who created the heavens and the earth by speaking it into existence. We have faith that this is so because You have told us, but also because we see Your beauty in the world around us. We are reminded of Your might when we behold the mountains or gaze upon the seas. We are humbled and understand our insignificance when we behold the stars You have placed in the heavens. In every way, God, You are great. And while everything You made was good, we know that it's from our lack of faith and obedience that those good things have been tarnished. You've made the world good, but it's become a stumbling block for man. We instead desire and cast our confidence in the world and the things of the world. Forgive us, Lord. Yet You've not abandoned us, even in our wickedness. When the mountains and high places in our lives fall into the sea, and the waters foam and roar around us, and the earth gives way, You are our refuge and our strength, our fortress. Let us contemplate the everlasting security and comfort You provide, and let us be still and know that You are our God. I pray that as we face challenges and trials, we can have confidence that we will be more than conquerors through Your love. Confidence in Your love that is permanent, unshakable, inseparable. Confidence in Your love whereby You delivered Your only begotten Son to die so that we could be justified and saved from condemnation. Your love is more powerful than our biggest obstacle. Your love will not be stopped by forces seen or unseen. You have even overcome death, and we can too because of Your love. How natural and easy it should be then for us to have obedience, faith, and love towards a God that has these attributes and actions towards us. I pray that this realization and knowledge of who You are motivates, strengthens, and deepens our faith, love, and obedience towards You, that we will not be stirred when trials come. You have assured us and convicted us to the faith by the consistency of Your character. We see that You reward those who seek You, and we reflect on those heroes of faith found within Your word that have been displayed throughout the century. God, let us have faith like Abel, offering the best of what we have to You. God, let us have faith like Enoch, dedicating our life to pleasing You. God, let us have faith like Noah, trusting in Your words, condemning the world, and pursuing righteousness. God, let us have faith of Abraham, obeying and leaving what we have for the greater promises You have given to us. God, let us have faith, the faith of Sarah, fully convinced of Your faithfulness to us. Though commended through their faith, they still did not receive what was promised. However, we know we have access to the promise of a heavenly home through Jesus the Christ, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. I pray that we devote our whole being to You, the unseen God who has made Himself known in all the most wonderful ways we have just prayed about and discussed, and how it's epitomized through Your Son. What more can You do for us than has not already been done for us? Help us remember Your steadfast love and faithfulness for us in all things. It's through Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
We will continue to look into scriptures before a talk by Jake on enduring trials with confidence in God. The first passage we will consider is from James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The second text we will consider is from Hebrews chapter 10. We will read from verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The second passage is from the same chapter. You consider verses 32 through 39. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
One thing that the scriptures make very clear is that our faith will be tested. We're told that followers of Christ will be persecuted, and we know that there will certainly be other difficulties and trials and storms of life. You know, we're not told that followers of Christ are exempt from those hardships at all. And many of you can speak to this from experience because you're going through them now or have gone through them recently. You know that the life of a Christian certainly does have its test of faith. And how should we feel about that? You know, when the scriptures tell us that we're going to face persecution and we're not going to be exempt from hardships at all, how should we feel about that? You know, how should we feel when we're in the midst of the trials, maybe more importantly? We certainly can tend to be discouraged, anxious, doubtful, because it certainly can be painful in those times. And we can't really see how it's going to end. You know, how is this going to turn out? And just the unknown can certainly cause us to be discouraged. Well, how do these passages that Santi just read for us say that we should feel about it? Or what should our attitude be towards the testing of our faith? I think there's a couple that we'll spend a couple minutes here on. One is that we should feel confident, right? He read there in Hebrews 10, starting there in verse 19, where he read, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." So through Jesus, we have confidence to do what? Well, down in verse 22, to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we now have confidence to draw near to God, to be closer to God than God's servants ever were before that. we can draw close to God and have that strength that only comes through the God that we read about in Psalm 46, that refuge, that fortress. We can now draw near to that God in the strength that comes from Him. Unfortunately, I think maybe too often we're unable to face trials and tests of our faith because we just don't have confidence that we can face them in the first place. How can I possibly get through this? And when through the blood of Jesus, we've been brought so close to God, the God, again, that we talked about a few minutes ago, the God that Paul said in Romans 8, that if He's for us, who can be against us? We ought to have confidence in the face of trials, and I'll say not just in the midst of trials, but confidence at the prospect of trials, even in the future. Sometimes we kind of wring our hands at, you know, what society will be like in a few years, or you know, how I'm going to raise my kids when they're older in this world, and even if that's inevitable, we've got to face that with confidence for even what's ahead. So what should our attitude be towards the testing of our faith? Well, one, we certainly should be confident. I think these passages also tell us that we can actually have joy in the midst of trials. Hopefully you saw that in both passages that Santi read. And I think each of these passages is really emphasizing a different reason that we can have joy. But let's look over in the James passage again. To just remind ourselves what was said there. James 1, 2 through 4 that was read, you know, why is it that these brethren could count it as joy when they faced trials and when their faith was tested? Well, it's because of what that testing produces. It produces steadfastness. It's because of the good that comes from those trials. Our faith is actually strengthened. I think normally when we think about, you know, testing is designed to kind of reveal how strong something is or weak it is. And certainly testing of our faith can have that effect. But he's saying that the testing actually makes it stronger. We're becoming steadfast. We're becoming immovable. Again, thinking about our theme verse for the year there in 1 Corinthians 15. Do we consider that as joy? The growth that we have in those times. You know, I think there's a reason why it doesn't say that it is joyful when you face these trials, because that can often be the furthest thing from how we feel, right, when we're going through these things. Brother, he says, you can count it as joy. Consider it as joy. It may require some intentionality, but we can see it as something that is good for us because of the growth, because of the strength that we can take from it. Do you think that will help us in future tests? The next time we go through something, do you think it will help us having gone through trials before and coming through those? Certainly. Will it enable us to be there for others who are facing trials? I think certainly. Will we be able to continue abounding in the work of the Lord? Again, going back to our theme verse about being steadfast, being immovable, always abounding in that work. Well, if we're getting closer to that steadfastness talked about there, again in that verse, it's coupled with, you know, abounding in His work. Let's face these trials with joy because of the good that it produces. Look back with me again, though, in Hebrews 10. That was read, where hopefully you saw there that he talks about the joy of these brethren as well. There in verse 34, where it says that there you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Okay, so their possessions are actually being taken away from them, and they face that with joy. Well, why is that? Well, it says, because you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. They knew that they had something better. They had something lasting, something that moth or rust could not could not destroy. He continues in verse 35, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." whatever happens to us, if our possessions are taken away, if we lose everything, if we lose a loved one, maybe we're facing sickness or death ourselves, or we're facing persecution of some kind, we know that we have something better. And maybe our attitude is more so, or has been more so, my possessions are being taken away. And the fact that one day I'll have a better possession, maybe that makes it a little more tolerable to get through what I'm going through now. But joy seems like that's kind of pushing it. I don't know about that. And I would say that if you have an attitude like that, that I think you're selling heaven pretty short and what it will be like. Because anything that causes us to think about heaven more and what our reward will be like, to appreciate it more, really ought to bring us tremendous joy and bring a smile to our face. Because aside from the fact that, you know, we're not even able to comprehend how wonderful it will be, it's the very thing that we're longing for. Like the examples in Hebrews 11 that are listed in that chapter, who acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims, they were desiring a better country, a heavenly one. We're longing for that as well. And you know what? Nothing really brings us to that place of appreciating it, longing for it, quite like those times when our faith is being tested. So in that, we can joyfully face what it is before us. Our faith will be tested. Again, we can face that with confidence because we can draw near to God now. And all the things we said about the strength that comes from God and who He is, we can face that with confidence. And, like it said in the last verse of chapter 10, we are not of those who shrink back, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We can also have joy because, one, our testing, it actually makes us stronger, produces steadfastness and that immovability that we've been talking about, and joy because we know that there's something better that's ahead. I think we'll read one more passage and then have another prayer.
Let's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and then go to our God in prayer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let us go to our God in prayer. Our God that grants and listens to His people, O merciful Father, we call upon You this hour We know that we are your children and adopted heirs, called unto receive the inheritance of your eternal kingdom. Thank you for calling us into this path where we can identify, value, and continue to value the unseen and eternal over the seen and the transient. Truly, O Father, the rewards of this earth are not like the rewards in heaven. All that we may strive to and obtain on this earth can perish and can be tarnished at a moment's notice, however noble it may seem to us or to the world. And above all, we know that over a period of time, all that man strives to do and accomplish fades away. In contrast, we have the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. We are thankful, O Father, and happy and glad for the trials, persecutions, afflictions, and sufferings of various different kinds, for they serve to prove our faith, and they help build the person that Christ came to form within each one of us. We know that these are not ordinary trials that we face in you, and that they are not futile. The trials that we face as Christians on the narrow path assure us of a victory when we pass these tests. They also make us complete and help us. O Father, help us to recenter our lives and learn to be even more joyful and be appreciative of our circumstances, so that we make our goal to be perfect and complete, and that we seek our completion according to your standards and not the world's. We pray for confidence and boldness on this day, O Father. For we are fearful. We are fearful creatures, and indeed, when we look at all that you have done for us, all that you've done for mankind, we compare we compare as children who have a faith that is minuscule, O Father. When we look at the unchanging high priest whom you have set over us, we look at the great strength that we receive from him, O Father. Help us to become more like him, and help us to become more like the unchanging Savior, so that we ourselves stand firm as an anchor. And help, O Father, so that we stand strong on this anchor through the storms that this life has to present to us. And help, Father, so that the anchorage that we have, we can help others through it, and so that others can see you through us. At this moment, we also pray earnestly for your guidance, and we ask you to produce within us and increase a desire for us to be together and have fellowship, so that we may find ways to encourage each other and do many good works. Finally, O Father, we're thankful for the promises of the resurrection and the time that is to come, because it is the foundation for knowing that our walk in you is worthwhile. We bring all these supplications to you in your Son's name. Amen.
If you're listening tonight and maybe you're faith has been shaken recently, I would urge you to read over the passages again that we've looked at, maybe spend some time thinking about some of the thoughts that have been shared, and reflect on who God is and what he's done, and reflect on what the scriptures say about the testing of our faith. If you need to speak to someone for encouragement, you can certainly reach out to any of our evangelists or elders or deacons. I'd be happy to take your call as well. Please let us know. We'll be happy to talk through that. There may be someone listening whose faith has been shaken to the point where you're no longer living as God would have you to live. And I'd urge you to, you know, do what you need to do to make your life right with God. Again, if any of us can be of assistance with that, please let us know. And if there's someone who is listening and would like to become a follower of Jesus, would like to put on Christ in baptism, again, we'll, any time of the day or night, we'll make arrangements to help you with that. So I appreciate your good attention this evening. One more song.